Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding, episode 30. Adam Johns, our Mike Brown episode.
Who else would you have picked? You had to go with him.
Demontre Hurst?
No. No.
I think you go Mike Brown.
Easy selection.
We have a special edition of Intentional Grounding today. It is our annual mock draft roundtable. Joining us here in studio, which, first of all, we don't do many of these episodes in studio ever.
No, so that's number two, three,
maybe number three,
maybe number three.
But joining, we're all in studio today, and joining us is Pat Finley from the Sun Times. And Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. He runs the Shutdown Corner blog over there. What's up, boys?
What's happening?
How are you?
Thanks for coming in. We do this every year, and it's fun. We just simulate the first round of the NFL draft. We've all been assigned our teams. We signed them late last week for the second year in a row. Adam Johns got the Chicago Bears.
Lucky me.
I would say it's rigged, but I'm the one who did it, so I can't really say that.
I think last year I took Danny Shelton. For the Bears.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
It was a common pick.
Yeah. Was it a random number generator? How did you figure out?
Well, basically, I just did the first four, like just picked them out of a hat sort of deal.
Sort of deal. That doesn't sound official
from there, and then from there, I just...
Pricewaterhouse and Cooper was overseeing the
exactly. Yep. Exactly. This is Intentional Grounding. Now, you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Also follow Pat Finley at Patrick Finley and Eric Edholm at Eric underscore Edholm. You can read us all WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com for Johnsy and Pat Finley, and yahoosports.com. You can find the Shutdown Corner blog there for Eric's content. He kind of covers more of the entire league, where the rest of us are more Bears guys. And find the podcast. Search Intentional Grounding on iTunes if you haven't done so already. Mike Jacobson is our producer, as always. And it's Intentional Grounding is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Well, what do you say we get into this thing?
Let's do it.
I guess I'm ready.
Eric, you are on the clock because you were awarded the first overall pick.
How about that?
Representing the Los Angeles Rams.
I feel great. I'm on the West Coast. I got a new fan base and everything like that. I love Jeff Fisher. He's one of my favorite people in the NFL. No, I'm kidding. How much time do I have? Do I get to like sit here? I mean, I guess I've been on the clock now for about 3 weeks whenever you sent out the email. But here's the deal. I know the word has kind of gotten out that Jared Goff is their guy. I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, though. I want to go up to Fargo, North Dakota, and I want to take me some Carson Wentz. I really do. When this trade was announced, when they first said they were on the clock, and I just my first thought went to Wentz because he's sort of had that Steve McNair, Alcorn State vibe to him. Big athletic kid. He's always gone for Fisher's always gone for quarterbacks who have that big, sturdy, athletic build and all that stuff, but. You know, it sounds like they're a little more infatuated with Goff. Forget all that. I'm going Wentz, so I'm going against the grain here, and I'm taking the kid with 23 starts at FCS football.
So you think it's all a smokescreen then?
No, I don't.
No?
This is me, Eric Edholm, general manager. Les Snead is somewhere tied up in the back room.
Yeah, we should make that clear that we're making these picks based on what we would do.
Correct.
Because I look, we can all pretend like we know what's going to happen Thursday night, but I don't think anyone really does. Except maybe in the case of the Rams.
Yes.
It's probably gotten out there enough that we know the Rams are going to go Goff, probably. Yeah. And then the Eagles will most likely go with Wentz,
correct,
number two. But from there, we've seen all these surprises. No one thought Brandon Scherff was going to the Redskins last year. And then from there, it all trickles down.
Do you think the good people of L.A. are going to care? That, I mean, you're passing on the Cal quarterback who they've seen on television.
That's true.
Who they like. I mean, he's one of them, you know. And then you're giving them North Dakota's version of Brett Favre.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's fair to say, and obviously you want to have that local connection. But he's a San Francisco kid too.
Right.
So L.A., San Francisco. You know, there's enough of a divide there. It's a awful car ride if you don't go on the Pacific Coast.
Gotta go scenic route.
I think the good people of L.A. are hanging out on the beach right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're catching waves.
What a move for
Jared
Wentz to go from Fargo, North Dakota. And he was, I think he was born in Bismarck, right?
Yep,
so he grew up in Bismarck. Well, I guess it really doesn't matter where you are in North Dakota. You're in North Dakota,
yeah.
and you're going to L.A. That would be quite the step up.
I tried to look at the most famous alumni of his high school, and it was like a Playboy model from '87. That was like the most famous person.
That's not bad.
Wow!
Yeah.
So you know, there's now him and this old Playboy model.
Maybe he can look her up when he gets to LA.
There you go. It comes full circle, guys. See,
that's right. All right, let's move on to number two, the Philadelphia Eagles. I have this pick, and right now I'm thrilled. First of all, I love Carson Wentz and I love Jared Goff. I think both of these guys are going to be very good quarterbacks in the NFL, but I did decide in the past week that I have Goff slightly rated higher than Wentz just because of the upside. I think the upside's a little bit higher. I think Wentz is probably more likely to come in and play right away.
Yes,
he played at the FCS level against worse competition, but he also played in a pro-style offense. He knows how to take a snap under center. The footwork's all there from that standpoint. He knows how to command a huddle. That's all stuff Jared Goff has to work on and adjust to when he gets to the league. But watching Jared Goff's tape, watching him just last season and the season before that, he had a couple games against Northwestern the last couple seasons before this year. This guy just has the natural arm talent, the ability to drop in some absolutely wow throws. And so I just think ultimately, you know, maybe this is a little bit more risky pick, but also I think the upside just slightly higher. Again, I like both Wentz and Goff, but if I'm the Eagles and he falls to number two, which is probably not what's going to happen, but if he does, I'm thrilled about that.
I think he's a rhythm passer, and if he's in the right situation, I think his ceiling is higher than that of Wentz. But I don't know. If you mentioned it with the bear raid offense, which is apparently what we're supposed to call Cal's offense.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't under center. He didn't really make checks himself.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't know how to run anything beyond this gimmicky offense. You know, we've seen people come out of that offense and succeed. Marcus Mariota was one.
But by the way, I think it's better for Goff to end up in Philly, though. And I know Sam Bradford wants a trade now.
Sure,
we'll see if
sure.
that happens. But if I'm Goff, I want to be in a – well, I don't know if he wants to, but I think it's better for him to be in a situation where he doesn't have to start week one. And if they keep
Bradford's gone, he might have to.
Well, exactly. But
don't you disrespect Chase Daniel, please.
Ed Holman and I will get up and walk out if you want to disrespect Missouri that way.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
that's
I would
true,
love
though.
To. Chase Daniel?
Eek.
Come on.
Hey.
Come on.
Has anybody ever made more money doing less than Chase
on
Daniel?
A per-snap basis? Dollars to snaps. I'm saying he might be number one in NFL history.
We were talking,
God bless him.
Jim Sorgi.
Oh.
Good one.
Yeah, but...
Oh, no. Wait. Matt Flynn.
Matt
okay.
Oh yeah.
I just thought of that. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Number three, the San Diego Chargers. Now with the top two quarterbacks off the board, Adam Johns, you are making this pick for the Chargers.
Yes. Kind of a, I guess you could call it a surprise. But forget the Ole Miss left tackle, fellas.
Good.
Let him fall a little bit more.
Let's
take the best athlete.
Fall like out of a hotel window, you mean?
See what I did there? Well played.
Wow, very well done.
Did he push him? Ooh, yeah.
Let's not go there.
Hot stuff. Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
Okay.
Best defensive back. You can move him anywhere you want in the secondary. They obviously saw Eric Weddle leave this year. The Chargers need somebody dynamic back there. And there's some people who believe this kid's the best, maybe the number one prospect in the whole thing. So why not?
I'm with you.
I think
it's a great pick. He's a safety or a corner or both, whatever you want to do with him. Charles Woodson, whatever. I mean, I can't wait. Last corner to go top three, Sean Springs, 97. It's been a while.
Wow.
But I love it.
I have Ramsey rated higher than both the quarterbacks.
I do,
so
too.
If you're the Chargers and that's who you end up with, I mean, if they were to go that route, I would guess he's probably the number one player on their draft board, and they got to be thrilled with it.
Well, and if you're the Chargers too, I mean, I think you might want to look at trading the pick. I read somewhere that every other year that one and two has been dealt, three has also been dealt.
Oh, that's a good call, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they have a lot of needs. You know, as we know, we saw them up close against the Bears. They're horrible.
Well, nobody texted me or called me about a trade, so fellow GMs in here, you know, everybody's
the
sitting in their hands,
guess,
huh?
Guess we could have. All right. Number four now, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. Are on the clock. Mm. Pat Finley.
If I'm Jerry Jones, I do not like you right now, Johns. I'm going to pour myself three fingers of Johnny Walker Blue because Ramsey would have been, I think, a perfect fit for Dallas. I think they could have sold him as the next Deion Sanders. I think Deion probably would have played along with that on national TV, and they would have had their skill position player who they love. Joey Bosa is going to be my pick.
Wow.
Then,
okay.
Which, you know, Tunsil. The last thing they need is a great offensive lineman. They have enough of those.
Just play 6-0 lineman every play.
Do so the referee could do the little thing where he puts on the shirt before every snap. Tunsil's good. Once again, if somebody really loves him, you know, maybe they look at trading out of here, but that's not a Cowboys thing to do. The Cowboys thing to do is to take the top four pick. And I think Bosa is the one you're left with.
You have two DNs suspended the first four games of the year, right? You've got Randy Gregory and you've got DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, here's the thing. You know, Bosa got suspended a game too. And, you know, there's whispers that maybe that's the kind of thing that could follow him to the NFL. But I love him as a player. I think he's really good. So I get why you do it.
I also like what has come out with the way that he handled himself after that suspension. He really shut himself off.
He moved. He got his own place. Yeah.
By the way, so he was a roommate of Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
What is it? Elliott doesn't really have any kind of issues like that, but isn't it a little weird that he? What does it say about Elliott if he thought that that's what he needed to get out?
I never thought about that. Yeah.
He had to move out of Elliott's apartment to get away from all those distractions. It's basically it's just weird when you read into it that
way. Well, and I think all of us going back to our college days. You know,
saying here, Pat?
There was never a case where
character concerns, where, red flags, yes. Calling the bosses.
Was there ever a case where you had a roommate who was doing things where you went, "Oh, I got to walk away from this"? Never.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I walk toward it often. I'm just going to say, I don't know what that means, but.
All right, let's get to number five now. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. Eric,
this is tricky here. So Bosa goes. We would have considered him, Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and company. I think it would have made some sense. But, you know, it's funny because I don't think they need Tunsil either. I don't know that DeForest Buckner fits their defense. They run a 4-3. I mean, yeah, he could play tackle there, but they just signed Malik Jackson. That's kind of the same dude. I mean, they're not drafting a running back. I mean, I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's in play there. Do we take a risk on greatness with Miles Jack and just hope that the knee is great, you know? And you say maybe they could use another pass rusher. Dante Fowler's coming back from the ACL. I think they just need as much defensive talent as they can, man. I think my doctors are texting me as we speak, and they're telling me they're okay with what they see. And if this guy can give you 6, 7, 8 great years, it's well worth the pick at 5. So I'm gonna go Miles Jack and kind of rub my little rabbit's foot and hope that nothing happens with that knee. It's the meniscus tear, which I also suffered one of those years ago. But we're feeling all right. We feel pretty good with that pick.
So there. Now, I know the Jaguars have a very passionate, huge fan base, but can they stomach possibly drafting an injured player after what happened last year?
That's true. That's a fair, excellent point. And now I'm starting to erase my pick. And I think I'd have to stick with it. I mean, I just don't know there's that one guy who screams. I mean, I guess you could try to trade Luke Jokel, you know, right, and just see if there's a market for him and such. And I guess he's not getting paid crazy money, so that would possibly be a thing. But I'm not taking a receiver. I'm not going offense, I don't think, other than tackle. I mean, I think he's the guy, even though I'm nervous about it, yeah.
Do you think the teams are really losing sleep over the potential microfracture surgery 5 years from now? Or is this a smokescreen being put out there by teams who love him? I think it's just as likely that teams are trying to throw people off the scent of
draft. I mean, are we talking about a torn meniscus here?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's
not like Jalen Smith's drop foot.
He's 20.
Right, exactly.
He's 20 years old.
And my cousin's playing D3 football right now. He had his meniscus repaired after the season. He played the whole year on it, and he's already back on the field. It's just not a huge deal.
It's basically that the cartilage has worn away to the point where you might need microfracture to kind of heal that area. But, yeah, it's like we're kind of guessing. We're kind of saying, you know, 5 years from now, whatever, he may need this. So it probably compromises the knee a little, but yeah, I'm good with it.
And I love the attitude that Jack and his people have taken, which is fine. You don't want to take me, you know, we'll prove you wrong.
Yeah, we'll go to a better team.
He's 20 years old. He was an offensive and defensive rookie of the year in the Pac-12 as a running back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a spectacular athlete.
He could cover backs and tight ends. I mean, we're going Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think it's a good pick. And what I was referencing earlier, of course, was Dante Fowler, yep, who tore his ACL in his first practice. As a Jaguar. And that's rough. But so, you know, yeah, you're adding two talented players then at the same time to that defense this year. And I like it. All right, let's recap the first five picks then. We have the Los Angeles Rams leading off with Carson Wentz, not Jared Goff. So Goff slips to number two to the Eagles. At number three, the Chargers take Jalen Ramsey. The Cowboys at number four go with Joey Bosa out of Ohio State. And then Miles Jack goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number five. All right, I have the number six pick in the Baltimore Ravens here. And there's two players I like a lot. that I'm thrilled both are still on the board. One is Laremy Tunsil, and the Ravens could certainly use some help on their offensive line. And I don't want to give away the other player because we're still gonna we still have other teams here that we all represent.
Does it start with a D and end with a Forrest Buckner?
I don't know, but I do know the Ravens have a need on the defensive line as well.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go with Laremy Tunsil here. I think that to upgrade their offensive line with a prospect like that to the best offensive lineman in this draft. Here's the thing though about Tunsil. I don't think he's a sure thing. Yeah, I like the potential. I love the athleticism, his feet at the position. I think he can come in and play left tackle right away. But it worries me that he never played a full season in college.
Yeah.
Just because he sat out because the NCAA decided to.
Yeah, but his first 2 years.
His dad is a weirdo.
But he had injuries the first 2 years.
Right. He did.
So I just, it's not a, there's some red flags here. You also have the Robert Kemdiche situation where, How weird was that at the combine when he just drops that Laremy Tunsil was there in the room too?
Dude,
what are you doing?
I mean, I knew it. That's why I asked him that question, and I was like, I knew he was there, so I wanted to see how he did because we were planning on writing about it. And then there's a lot more to the story behind it, but yeah, I mean, I had heard he was there and maybe another player as well. So I asked him. He was like, "Yeah, Laremy was there," and he kind of just
did. You ask him straight up if Laremy was
there? I said, "Were there any other Ole Miss teammates in the room at that night?" And he went, "Yeah, Laremy was there." And he just said it in such a way like he wanted to slip it in, but he didn't really want to talk about it, you know. And you know how follow-up questions are. You don't get the chance to do it at the combine, so it is what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Laremy Tunsil going to the Baltimore Ravens at number 6.
Boom.
That takes us to number 7. The San Francisco 49ers are on the clock. Adam Johns.
They could do so many things here. I know everybody wants them to look at Paxton Lynch, and they're not going to do it.
They're not. No.
They can't. He could be good. He's going to take work. Chip Kelly tends to be a little, how should we put this, fellas? I mean, first word that jumps in your head, Chip Kelly is.
It's difficult, man. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to work with.
So I don't think he does it. Yeah. I think that they wait to address their quarterback situation. He goes back to Oregon, and he takes DeForest Buckner.
Good move.
Fits perfectly in that defensive line.
Their D-line coach had him. Chip had him. Both of them had him at Oregon. So, I mean, I know they had Armstead last year, but who cares? You need that spot. I'm down with it.
Yeah, I think they got to be pretty happy with that. So, DeForest Buckner at number 7 and the Cleveland Browns at number 8 now. Pat Finley.
Oh, boy.
You're supposed to mess up this pick, Pat, just so you know.
Well, they'll mess it up for me later. It's okay. If any of you boys had called me, I was very open to trading the pick. I just think that Paul D. Podesta and those guys believe that just the more bites of the apple you get, the more good players. Yeah,
yep.
Which makes total sense to me. Stuck making the pick, though, I think I'm going to go Ronnie Stanley. You know, they seem okay at left tackle, but they can make that trade and save themselves a lot of money.
Let me ask you a question. If you are D. Podesta, Sashi Brown et al., do you consider trading Joe Thomas? They could have sent him to the Broncos last year. Yeah. Could have gotten, a first or something? I mean, they had a pretty good...
It was like a 1 and a 2 for him and a 2 or something
like
that. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And if you're going to gut the thing... Gut the thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to draft another offensive lineman, then...
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Right.
Joe Thomas is... phenomenal player, though. I mean, maybe the most, because he's been on so many bad teams.
Right.
Just the most underrated player in the league over the last
decade. Is he going to be on their next good team, though? Probably not. Even if you play this perfectly, if you're the Browns, what are we talking about? 2.5 years from now? Is he going to be with you then? If not, you got to look and move.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Okay, so you're going Ronnie Stanley at number 8 to the Cleveland Browns. The offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. All right, we get to number 9 in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Back to you, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, my board tells me that there's a player at the running back position who was the highest graded. Now, that said, they just put a lot of money in Doug Martin this offseason, so I'm not going there. I'm instead having to kind of switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to go cornerback, and not the one that everybody seems to be riding on now, which is the kid from Houston, William Jackson, but I got to go Vernon Hargraves, who is St. Thomas Aquinas, Tampa kid, legend down there. I know we're talking 5'10", you know, 200 pounds, not the fastest guy in the world, but he's so good. He's such a great playmaker. And, like, you look at their cornerback depth chart, it is miserable. So I'm feeling pretty good about VH3 to the TB.
He's productive. You compare him to the other two top cornerbacks, your Mackenzie Alexander and Jalen Ramsey. This guy's got stuff on the stat sheet, unlike some of the other ones.
Alexander, zero picks in college.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's I don't like that at all.
Ramsey only three. So, you know, I mean, I think Hargraves has 10 in parts of three seasons. He had a couple injuries along the way. So
I just think his tape looks a little bit too much like Kyle Fuller. When I watch it, a lot
of double moves,
but this is a good look. This is a good defense for him to go to, though. Yep. I mean, I'd especially love it if Lovie Smith was still there, but he's not. But still, this is a. It's not like he's going to have to go in there and be asked to play press man coverage on every down, and
right.
And so this is a good. This is a good destination for him. All right, number 10, the New York Giants. Now I have this pick. Would have loved to have Buckner here. And I think I'm going to go offensive line, despite the fact that Ronnie Stanley's off the board. And I'm going to go with Jack Conklin here from Michigan State. And maybe rising up the board a little bit. Maybe you're taking a little early. But I think the Giants could use an offensive lineman like that. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Conklin here at number 10.
I think the question with him is, you know, he could be a right tackle tomorrow. But is he ever going to be a left tackle? And if he's not, can you draft a right tackle 10th? I mean, I think he can play left tackle. And I think you have to try, and you have to try early.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to me, that's the big debate about it.
See, I think, you know what? I get the left tackle position is a marquee. You know, I don't know if this is an old way of looking at things, but look at Von Miller, Khalil Mack. They're rushing from the other side. You know, so many teams have these, you know, powerhouse pass rushers on both sides. You got to have two great tackles in the league.
Look at it like this: if you go back to the Kyle Long draft, I think there's a lot of teams that would have taken him in the top 10. Looking back on it, and he's a right guard.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you got a good offensive lineman, I don't think it really matters necessarily if he can't be a left tackle. He's a key piece that's going into your offensive line.
Yep.
All right, so this brings us to
this is it,
the Bears pick at number 11,
and then we're done.
And then the draft ends.
The draft is over. How has this played out for you so far, Mr. Ryan Pace?
I think it's played out. You know what? As Ryan Pace would like to have four or five guys who I am comfortable with picking in this situation, and I think there are two, three maybe big ones here. You got Ezekiel Elliott, Shaq Lawson, Leonard Floyd. I guess maybe he's the number three in that order, but I think it comes down to Zeke Elliott or Shaq Lawson.
Yeah.
And I think as much as Fox likes a wave of running backs, you can always find decent ones late. This pass rushing class isn't the best. You need to find a difference maker for that defense. You pass up Zeke Elliott, and you go with Shaq Lawson.
Wow.
You're going to get booed. You're going to get booed. The theater is going to boo you, Ryan Pace. It's going to boo you lustily.
What do you have against Shaq Lawson?
Nothing. It's just everybody likes offense, and everybody likes the Big Ten's
But you already have a Jeremy Langford. Yes. They love them. I love – let me get this straight. I, as Ryan Pace, love Ezekiel Elliott. John Fox, I love Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Stan Drayton, me too. You know, but – Shaq Lawson, you need defensive guys. You need pieces for that defense. You need to get younger on that side.
I'll tell you what's wrong with Shaq Lawson, at least the way I look at it. And he's on my Bears big board. He's at number 14. Elliott's higher, though. I think he had him at number 8. So in this situation, I'm taking best player available, which would be Elliott. However, so I like Lawson. I like his potential. I'm just not in love with it. I don't think he's a polished pass rusher. I think he's more of a run stuffer right now. You look at the Bears defense, don't you need – pass rush?
Yes.
Isn't that what you're trying? Rusher, though. I know he's not that speed threat that Fox wants and everybody seems to be in love with, but not everybody could be Von Miller.
Hmm. Well, is there a chance to get a pass rusher in round two? That's the question. I think that is another – you're banking – you know what I mean? Like, you're almost thinking, well, we can definitely find a running back later. I'm not saying, you know, that I love Shaq Lawson. I've got him pretty high, but not
– You also pass on Leonard Floyd here, by the way.
Yeah,
you
did. Oh, I'm not sold on Leonard Floyd.
Well, that's fine.
Now that Dan John's speaking, the guy is so thin rail.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, with Lawson, I wonder if the reason you like Lawson is because you're comparing him to Floyd. Because Lawson has this try-hard thing on tape that Floyd, to me, in what I've watched,
doesn't.
And whether that just brings out the positives of Lawson in a way that wouldn't if you weren't watching them back-to-back.
The last two guys to come out who looked like Floyd to me were Deion Jordan, who drug suspensions have gotten in the way. We don't know if he's a good player or not. And Barkevious Mingo from Cleveland. done what? You know, exactly. I mean, he plays 300 snaps a year, and he's just a guy. And I mean, I don't know. That's what worries me. He cannot take on the run head on.
Technically, you know. There are a couple wide receivers who have come out who look like him.
It's true.
Which is a problem.
DGB or whoever, right. Yeah.
And Lawson's a football player.
Right.
You know, like compared to a talent, an athlete. You know what I'm saying?
I have an interesting scenario to put out there, just if this had were to play out this way, because I think the Bears' interest in Zeke Elliott is out there, and it's pretty well known. I think the Dolphins' interest is also out there and well known. If you're the Giants at number 10 and you're on the clock,
yeah,
and the Dolphins know, and Adam Gase knows John Fox well, knows that the Bears might want to take Zeke Elliott, do you consider trying to get on the phone with the Giants, trying to get that 10th pick, move up there in that spot?
The Dolphins, you mean?
I'm saying, you know, the if Bears. You're the if you're the Dolphins, gotcha. Would you try to move up to number 10, leapfrog the Bears, just in case Elliott comes off the board there for the Bears? And if you're the Giants, are you willing to do that?
I think Conklin could be there at 13. Sure. I think that's a great idea if you're the Giants.
Yeah.
If Conklin's the guy
you want.
Especially
because I want Conklin, yeah.
Yeah, if Conklin's the guy you want, I think he could get through the next three.
Okay. Miami's such a weird team. I, you know what I mean? Like, I think they're hoping for one of those guys, either Hargraves or Elliott, to sneak through to 13. But you had the 8th pick in the draft. You traded for an overpriced corner and injured linebacker. I mean, it just... I guess I don't quite know what they're doing there, and I don't know who exactly fits, but, you know, I could see them, if they get desperate, and they were trying to sign Chris Johnson and stuff. I mean, sounds desperate to me to get a running back, so it makes a little sense to me.
All right, so we have Shaq Lawson going to the Bears at number 11. The Auditorium Theater right now is just going crazy.
Oh,
fans
yeah, you're
are upset.
It is buzzing. This is a defensive town.
The two tickets we gave away right here on Intentional Grounding, that guy's
buzzing.
That guy's pissed.
They're driving from downtown to Lake Forest to
so mad.
Throw things.
So we get to the New Orleans Saints at number 12,
oh my.
Pat Finley. Mm.
You mentioned Leonard Floyd. I think he might make sense in their scheme. I think Sheldon Rankin's probably the better player.
I agree.
Okay.
I'm going to go with him.
Sheldon Rankins off the board at number 12.
Not to pit my own stuff. I wrote about him last night. I love him. I think he's great. I don't think he's Aaron Donald, but I think he's that kind of player. You know, I think he'd be great.
And he was Aaron Donald-esque at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite as dominant, but he was clearly the best three technique guy that you can put there in a one-gap scheme. And 100%. Get upfield.
Yep, I love him. So. I think he's great. He's short, but I mean, that's really the biggest knock on him, you know, right there. He doesn't have great foot speed. Who cares? He's quick as heck. I love him.
Okay, Adam Gase over there. Here you are, and you haven't had to trade up, and Zeke Elliott's still on the board here at number 13. Is there any way you could pass him up?
Wait, is this me or who is this?
That's you, Eric.
Yes, sorry. Okay, yes. Miami, we're sitting there. We're loving it. We're lucky because we did move down from 8 to 13, and our boy's still there. We're taking Ezekiel Elliott. Have you seen, you know, you've got a banged up Jay Ajayi, and you've lost Lamar Miller. This is a three down back who can pass protect. He can catch the football. He can run inside and out. You know, you guys know what Adam Gase needs in a running back. He's got it. I think he's got everything. So I think it's a no-brainer pick. We might have gotten nervous and moved up earlier, but outside of any trade activity, we're happy to get a top five or six player in this draft.
So it was risky, and you just brought up how you're not really sure what the Dolphins are doing down there, but this has worked out pretty good. They traded back. They added more picks. They still got their guy.
I think it's going to – yeah, if it works out this way, it's great. Now, let's say he's gone. Now, that would put one more, you know, maybe a defensive player on the board. Of the guys who have gone who have any chance to get to 13, I don't know. You know, Sheldon Rankins plays the same spot as Ndamukong Suh. They would get lucky in this scenario. I'll just say it that way.
Well, and this is one of those cases where if Elliott's gone, if you're a Dolphins fan, you're telling this story at bars for years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you are lamenting, hey, we moved down five spots. It cost him, you know, it cost us a 22 carry a game guy.
Right.
You know, and we wound up with these two players who could end up being albatrosses on our deal.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works out like that sometimes.
All right, so we move on to number 14 here. The Oakland Raiders are now on the clock. I have this pick, and I need a corner. I'm the Raiders. I need a corner. Vernon Hargraves is off the board. Jalen Ramsey is long gone at this point. I love William Jackson III. I think he's going to be – I like him as the second-best corner in this league. I like him better than Vernon Hargreaves. Mm. And I'm going to take William Jackson here to the Raiders at number 14.
You're not the only one. A lot of people do. A lot of people really like the length, the production. He had like 23 passes broken up last year. He's fascinating. I needed to look a little harder at him before I felt good about him. But the more I watch, the more I like. He can play safety, too. I mean, he's good.
Yeah, that's another reason. And obviously, the Raiders just lost a pretty darn good safety, Chuck Woodson. All right, let's move on to number 15, the Tennessee Titans now on the clock. Adam Johns, you have the pick.
We have our quarterback.
Yep.
We didn't mind passing up on Tunsil.
Yep.
Because we think there's some decent offensive tackle talent in this draft. There's still a very good one available. He's from the Ohio State University.
How about that?
Taylor Decker.
All right. Probably a little bit earlier than most think, but...
I've seen him mocked.
Okay.
Mid-first round plenty of times.
The mock
recently.
I'm looking at right now has them 15 to the Titans.
Yeah.
And if they pass on him... You don't know you're going to get anything better, lower. I don't know. I think I understand that.
Yeah. Well, we're also seeing kind of a run on tackles here.
Yeah.
At least a little bit. Conklin went early.
Yep.
Tunsil slipped a little bit, but once he went, then Stanley went, and then Conklin. So Decker would be the natural next choice here.
It's pretty amazing to consider that if this draft has four offensive tackles who are generally considered to be first-rounders, that they could all be gone in the first half of the first round.
All right, so now the Lions are on the clock, our next NFC North team.
I've been groaning with every time my name comes around here because I don't have a ton of faith in it. But A'shaun Robinson.
Okay.
We're sticking interior. Don't feel great about it, but, you know, you're looking at this Lions team that, you know, they need to find life after Megatron, and the problem is that life is not coming in the draft. I think it's still a reach for Treadwell here. I think that you can hope that in the second round there's a wide receiver.
Don't, if you're the Lions GM, the brand new GM, last thing you want to say is don't feel good about it.
Yeah,
right. Here's our guy.
I don't feel great.
A'shaun Robinson.
That's one thing to love about the draft is every single GM got the guy they were hoping to get. It's great.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting case for the psychology of it, the public relations aspect of it. That whoever you bring in to play wide receiver, I know they've overspent in free agency at wide receiver, but whoever you bring in, whoever you draft, the fans are going to expect him to be the second coming of Calvin Johnson.
That's true.
Which is just the most unfair thing in the world. And I think would stunt the growth of anybody they'd pick here at receiver. I think reaching for a receiver is the worst thing they could do, though.
And if you did take Treadwell, his skill set is very much like Marvin Jones. You know what I mean? The same idea of a play. I mean, he's a better blocker. You know, he may be better in the red zone, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that's there's not a whole lot of difference there. So I think I get that, yeah.
Okay, so we move on to number 17 now. The Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. Eric, this is your pick.
Well, you know, Dan Quinn, I know they're saying, well, he could use a linebacker. There's, you know, still O-line help that they probably need and, you know, other positions like safety and stuff. If they take a safety at 17, they're crazy. So I'm not going that way. I'm going with the you can always use more pass rusher theory. And, you know, it seems maybe a little strange that they might go a Clemson defensive end 2 years in a row. But I'm going Kevin Dodd. He's a different style of end than what they have. And you know, Vic Beasley last year is sort of that quick, you know, fly off the ball kind of guy. I know he didn't have a great rookie season. But Dodd is this really intriguing guy. He's big. I mean, he's 6'5", 277, one-year wonder. That scares me. But the fact is, he's ascending. I think he's going to come on and be a better pro than he was a college football player. So, Kevin Dodd, he can play on the strong side. He could shut down your run game. He's a full tilt guy effort-wise. Kevin Dodd, number 17 pick a year after being a bench player.
I like Dodd more than I like Shaq Lawson.
I think I do now. I'm starting to feel that way.
Yeah. And so I think this is tremendous value for
Ryan Pace
the
is not listening.
Yeah, stop insulting Ryan Pace.
I think this is a great pick for the Falcons at number 17. I think Dodd, I wouldn't have a problem if Dodd ends up going in the top 10. I think he's that good. So good pick here for the Falcons, number 17. Move on to the Indianapolis Colts at number 18. I was kind of hoping Taylor Decker would still be sitting here and available, but he's not. And so I'm going to have to reach in a little bit. Man, do I think about replacing Jarrell Freeman with a Reggie Ragland? This is a little early for that, though. I don't know if I love Ragland all that much. There's a guy from Eastern Kentucky who started his career at Ohio State. He's a risk. He's a risk. He's a character risk. But, man, you turn on that Senior Bowl tape, and he looks good. He looks like a first-round pick. I'm Jim Irsay. I'm a little crazy sometimes, but I'm willing to do it. I'm taking Noah Spence here at number 18.
I was about to make a really poor taste joke right there. I'll leave that one to the side. You can the after show, you can check it out.
They have a lot to talk about, those two.
Yes, they do.
Right?
All
right.
And he's mad at me, too. Not Jim Irsay, but Noah Spence. I tweeted out something about him that he took personal offense to. I'll just throw that out there if you want to do the history and the research on that.
Personal offense?
You know, we have time. You can just tell us.
I'll just tell. Well, so I was told. It's kind of one of those journalistic, maybe I could have done a better route. I was told that by multiple teams that, he threw other Ohio State players under the bus, that they said that I wasn't the only one doing X, Y, and Z substances at Ohio State. That's why he got kicked out of the Big Ten.
You mean like Robert Kempdiche did publicly?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's – and so, when I put that up on Twitter, got quickly back to Mr. Spence, who then threw a few shots my way. We tried to talk about it off Twitter. It didn't quite work out, so – just throw that out there. Interesting little side note.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good to know. Spence is a risky pick. There's no question. All right. Number 19 now. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock.
Now Rex Ryan is flustered. He wanted some risky picking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wanted some Noah Spence.
You want to make Donald Trump happy?
Got to need a linebacker. I know you just mentioned Reggie Ragland. With Noah Spence off the board, he's going to take at least the best interior linebacker that he can get. Reggie Ragland.
How about that?
Okay. That's fine, I guess. I'm not sold on Ragland.
Is he a three-down player, I guess, is the question. I mean, he looked good in zone coverage. I think a couple times he was manned up on guys. He would get torched. But
see, I don't know why he was linked so early on to like teams like the Bears. People were talking about him being an 8 to 12 level
was that
pick.
Before free agency?
Yeah, it was before the Bears spent a ton of money on him.
Like to see, I talked to people around the league. People said maybe his talent is maybe in the 20 range. Maybe a first round pick, maybe quite possibly,
early
definitely
second.
Early second. Yeah. I think he's a good fit for the Bills. Rex Ryan, I should say, thinks he's a good fit.
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys that could end up being a better college player than he was a pro.
Hmm.
But that
he did play behind.
But that doesn't make
an
him
amazing
not
defensive line. Yeah. You wonder why his production isn't a bit better.
Yeah, it doesn't make him not useful, especially at this point in the draft where everybody you're taking in the first round has flaws anyway.
Yeah, no, we've gotten past sort of the sure thing, if there is even such as a thing as a sure thing, because even here in the top five, I mean, there's a couple teams gambling on quarterbacks that might not work out in the first two slots. All right, so the Bills go with Reggie Ragland. We now get to the number 20 pick, the New York Jets, Pat Finley.
What was it you just said? Something about gambling on quarterbacks? Is that what you said? I don't love Paxton Lynch.
He doesn't love you.
And he doesn't love me.
You're supposed to be the Jets in this, though.
and when you say on Twitter you don't like Paxton Lynch, then his agent goes after you.
Uh-oh.
But not me, personally, but others. I'm going to take Paxton Lynch.
I don't like Paxton Lynch, but I'm going to take Paxton Lynch.
I think we live in a world where everybody's quarterbacks go higher than they should, obviously, and I think that we lose track of that this late in the draft. I mean, it's fairly ridiculous that Jared Goff and Carson Wentz are 1 and 2. I mean, what are they? What are they? What, 5 and 8 in the draft? Probably, if you
or lower, maybe. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
If you don't need a quarterback, I think you look at what Paxton Lynch does, and he's just such a physical freak athletically. Mm. I mean, somebody's going to dream on that, and the person to dream on it is somebody who needs a quarterback. And he's a developmental guy. He's not going to help them this year, but maybe he does 2 or 3 years from now if Brandon Marshall doesn't kill him first.
It's always a good disclaimer. So what do you do with Geno Smith? What do you do with Bryce Petty? What do you do with, do you re-sign Fitzpatrick?
First of all, I'm not changing my life's plans over what Bryce Petty might think.
I just want to hear your response to it.
I don't know. I think you can bring the Amish rifle back.
Yes.
And, just develop him under Fitz, who's, by all accounts, a pretty good guy and a pretty good mentor.
I like it.
All right. So Paxton Lynch sneaks into the top 20. That'll be a fun pick out in... At least now, if the draft's in New York, are they booing it?
No.
Nobody boos a quarterback.
No one boos a quarterback. Until they play.
He's this big giraffe, too. He's this like big, gawky 6'7 guy. He's got a big smile on his face all the
time. He looks like a Backstreet Boy. I don't know if that plays in New York. It probably doesn't play in New York.
I remember the 6'7 Backstreet Boy. But that's,
All right, number 21, Washington now. Eric, you have the pick.
Yeah, we're going big. I mean, this is how Scott McLuhan, I think, will do it. I think he's got two guys in mind at this spot who are still available, actually, which is good. Andrew Billings is one from Baylor. But I'm going to go with Jaren Reed from Alabama. I just like him a little bit better, I think. And, you know, Chris Baker had a good year on DN. They have Kendall Reyes they signed. They just don't have that nose tackle I think was any good. So I think even though he may be a two-down guy at first, a little bit of a concern, but eventually Jaren Reed I think will be very good. This guy's committed to like 9 different colleges, and he's taken the scenic route everywhere. But I think once you settle him down, put him in the middle, give him a good D-line coach, he could be an animal. They get Josh Norman. They're starting to improve that defense a little bit. And I think getting somebody to kind of do the dirty work up front. So Jaren Reed, A'shaun Robinson's teammate, goes to the Skins.
All right. So here we are. We're at number 22, and not a single wide receiver has been taken. And the Houston Texans are on the clock. Bill O'Brien, Rick Smith, they got to be thrilled. They can pick their top wide receiver if that's the position they want to address here. And I think with Laquon Treadwell, Corey Coleman, Josh Doctson, all these guys, Will Fuller, they're all still here on the board. I'm going to take the guy who I think has the most upside in Laquon Treadwell. Mm. Treadwell going here at number 22 to the Houston Texans.
I love it.
Get Brock Osweiler another big target to throw. Now he has two big targets to throw the football to. I still think the Texans should add a quarterback early, and I still like the idea of Hackenberg
love Hackenberg, though.
Well, I like Hackenberg, and I think
love is putting it mildly.
Love,
we got Portillo's in a six pack on him going in the second round.
And I'll give Bill O'Brien maybe a couple fries.
But Johnsy's six pack is Miller Lite bottles, right?
No. We'll think of something.
I saw a mock the other day with him in the first round.
Yeah. He'd be the first Big Ten quarterback drafted in the first round in 20 years?
No kidding.
Something yeah, like that. That is correct, I believe.
Is that Kerry Collins?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wow.
I
don't
think so.
Yeah, Penn State. So, all right, 23, another team that might want a wide receiver. They might be mad that Treadwell just came off the board. Minnesota Vikings.
Bridgewater is pouting, but not too much. You know, the Vikings, we wanted Laquon Treadwell. Mm. But we'll settle for the next guy on our list. We do need to build around our young quarterback. He needs weapons. He needs to get better, and he needs better weapons to do so. Corey Coleman, wide receiver, Baylor.
How about that?
This is one of those picks where it's hard to go into the draft and look at the teams that are in the 20s and really like pinpoint, hey, I could totally see this guy going here, but I could totally see Corey Coleman ending up in Minnesota.
Well, they need receivers. Right?
Yeah, they need a wide receiver.
They need options for Bridgewater. I mean, the guy... I don't know where you guys stand in Bridgewater. I don't think he's very good. Maybe if he has better options to target.
He's okay.
I think his greatest skill was that he was a fairly average quarterback as a rookie. And I don't know that he'll get better. But
I don't know how high his ceiling is. But
right.
I don't think he should have been in the Pro Bowl.
No, probably not. It's amazing that he was.
Andy Dalton took a jump in year four, right? I mean, I didn't think Andy Dalton was great. Last year, he played pretty darn well when he was out there. I mean, you know, I guess I could see him maybe getting a notch better. But, yeah, he's all right.
All right, so wide receivers back-to-back at number 22 and 23. The Cincinnati Bengals are now on the clock. Mr. Pat Finley.
This is what we call in fantasy drafts a run on wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
The only question now is, do we go with Will Fuller? Do we go with Josh Doctson?
This is what you have to tell us.
I think we go with Doctson.
Okay.
Flip a coin at this point. If I'm them, I'm happy with any of the four, to tell you the truth. I think that it makes sense for them at this point. And then it's just which flavor do you like? What was it they were saying in Philly? What is it? Do you like, what is it? It's
chocolate vanilla?
Vanilla, chocolate.
Pepperoni or sausage, right? Something like that.
All are good choices. Yeah. All are delicious. And I'm happy with Doctson.
He kind of has a little more size, which they lost with Sanu and Jones. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I would go with Doctson over Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like if that's the direction you're going with a wide receiver, I like that move. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers now. Eric, you have the pick at number 25.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're sitting here saying, you know, it's going to be defense. We've brought in almost all defensive players to be our visits to the team in the off season. You know, we're a little disappointed, maybe not be that top shelf corner. But I think we can make do with Eli Apple, and I think we can figure out, you know, whether he's a choice player or not. He kind of reminds me, I guess, a little bit of the guy that the Bengals drafted a few years ago, Andre Kirkpatrick. But, you know, he might be a little bit better. Kirkpatrick's finally starting to come around a little bit. Apple's one of those guys you like, maybe you don't love, but, you know, he'll stick his nose in there. He's got some long arms. He sort of fits the division a little bit. So, disappointed we couldn't have Jackson slide all the way down. Didn't really think it was possible. Eli Apple's going to be our pick, even though there was a linebacker I was considering there.
Ooh. Did he also go to Ohio
Drama.
State?
He did, but then we taken too many Ohio State linebackers.
A lot of Ohio State players going in this first round, which is going to be a storyline on Thursday night, yes. No question about it. So Eli Apple to the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 25. That brings us to 26. The Seattle Seahawks are on the clock, and man, there's a few directions here I can go, and I'm not exactly sure what I want to do. Robert Kempdiche is here, and obviously the Seahawks have no problems with taking character risks, with what they did last year with Frank Clark. But you also like Darren Lee, to me, the most glaring problem though last year was on that offensive line, and the trading away of Max Unger, I think, hurt them. And there's a center out of Alabama.
Good call.
That I think is going to be very good. And, yes, there might be players with maybe higher upside here at this point, but if you want stability on that offensive line, a good way to start right here is to add Ryan Kelly from Alabama and put him right in there. I think he's a day one starter at the center position. I think he fixed a lot of the problems that the Seahawks had last year. So I'm going to go with Ryan Kelly in the safe pick at number 26.
I have no problems with that.
I think that's as good of a marriage of fit and a need as you'll get at this point in the draft.
Basically opposite of Robert Kempdiche.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of risk.
You kind of know what you're getting. Right?
Although I'm not sure, honestly, with Kempdiche, is he the best defensive lineman out there? I don't think he is at this point. I think Chris Jones might be better than he is.
But, okay. Oh, you mean at this point? Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a possibility. All right, number 27 now, the Green Bay Packers, Adam Johns. You already screwed up the Bears draft pick. So.
You know, I do think like Ted Thompson, you know, I think we're of like mind in football knowledge. So,
wow.
They have.
Oh, pat yourself on the back. Know,
just kidding, Ted. Just kidding, Daddy.
He's a loyal listener of this podcast.
He is. They have a lot of needs, the Packers kind of have, you know, a lot of ways to go. You know, there's holes in this lineup. Yes, we have the greatest quarterback in the league, but, you know, there are issues on both sides of the ball. You know what, but Pat Finley just mentioned the guy. I think you build in the trenches. I think you go with Chris Jones. You need big interior help, and the Packers, they'll add it. I mean, you could look at outside pass rushers. You could, you know, look at inside linebackers. They have so many areas to address, but you build up front.
I think Jones, too, if you question his motivation or if you question his want to, I think it's a good fit in that locker room that he will probably rise up to the level of his teammates. I think that that's a good fit for him.
Yeah, I think it is a good fit. All right, so Packers take Chris Jones. That takes us to the Kansas City Chiefs at number 28. Pat, you have the pick.
We, the Chiefs, in addition to having picks taken away from us because we cheat.
Allegedly.
We are pretty surprised that Leonard Floyd is still available.
I kind of forgot about him. Jesus.
We are happy that you forgot about him.
I was going to take him next pick.
And we are jumping at Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd has flaws, but at this point in the draft, those flaws are A-okay with me. I think he's a good fit there.
Okay. Leonard Floyd slips a lot all the way to the back end of the first round. The Chiefs take him at number 28. That takes us to the Arizona Cardinals at number 29, Eric Edholm.
Yeah, well, we're going to tap dance for a moment here. That was going to be our guy. Only because we thought, you know, hey, you know, we traded for Chandler Jones. We have Marcus Golden. But Jones a free agent, you know, and you could always use another weapon up front. They like those kind of oddly dimensioned, freaky athletic defenders. But I you guys have permission to hate me. I'm going to go with a pick that I think will get the crowd worked up out of their slumber a little bit. We've had a couple of, you know, a little slow run here in Chicago during the draft. I'm going to go with that Big Ten quarterback, Connor Cook.
Ooh.
And wow. The reason I'm doing that is because I think if you were to pair up Connor Cook with Bruce Arians, I think you'd see that there's some good match and ability here. And listen, we're willing to trade down too. If somebody wants him badly, you want to move up, we'll take him. We'll trade the rights to him, whatever we need to do. But yeah, I think a secondary pick would make a lot of sense. I think offensive line is good, but do you take Cody Whitehair here? I mean, that's kind of boring here. So I'm gonna go Connor Cook, knowing that Carson Palmer just had a pretty bad playoff game. He is reaching critical mass here at age, 37 or 8 now? And I don't think our backup options are all that enticing. Going Connor Cook here. Why not? We'll let him sit for a year and let him get humble a little bit, not be the super bro he was up in East Lansing, and then he can kind of step in when we need him to.
So he becomes the first Big Ten quarterback taken since Kerry Collins.
How about that?
Okay.
I'm just pointing out there. You brought up
Drew Brees came close, right? Yeah. He was very close.
All right, so then I have the pick at number 30 with the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, can I have, because I get shorted a pick here?
Okay, yeah, you're okay.
Can I have the Patriots pick?
You can have the Patriots
pick. Oh, number 60 and 61?
Right.
Oh.
No, I'm just going to sit here.
We got a trade proposal? Yeah. Wait, what's going on here?
No, we're just going to be dead air for 30 seconds in acknowledgement of
Bill Belichick
the Patriots
crying.
Having it. Yeah,
oh, I see. Maybe like something leaking.
well, you know, we got our pick taken away, and
it is what it is.
We'll get them back. Oh, sorry.
All right, carry on.
All right, the Carolina Panthers here at number 30. Another team that could go in a few different directions. Obviously, they have a sudden need for a cornerback, but I, you know, all my corners here that I want to take this higher are not there. So I'm going to go with another. Yeah, I think it's safe. I think it's safe. It's another Big Ten offensive lineman, and I'm going to add Jason Spriggs from Indiana here.
I like it.
The offensive tackle. Get some stability on that offensive line. I like Spriggs. I think he can, at a minimum, be a very good right tackle in this league, and so I'm going to go with Spriggs there at number 30 to the Carolina Panthers. That takes us to our last pick.
Wow.
The Don Elway.
He had Connor Cook written down.
Adam Johns, you are John Elway.
He had Connor Cook written down, and he's throwing it out.
And you are going to be stubborn here, and you're not going to take Hackenberg just because you don't want me to be right. Even though you need a quarterback.
We're still trading for Kaepernick.
Okay.
It's coming.
Dak
Give
Prescott
us some time.
Later. Yeah, you'll be all
we
right.
We got time. We got time.
Sure.
That Ole Miss defensive tackle still on the board, isn't he?
He is.
Goodness.
And you know what? We just saw a guy leave for a ton of money to Jacksonville.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have a need there. There's not much character risk involved, I think, at this point in the draft. Robert Kemdichie. Did I say
like
that
it.
Right?
Safe. Kemdichie, there it is.
Elite talent, you know. He's got some questions. He's got some red flags. But he could play. Broncos will take him.
If my team is in the state of Colorado or the state of Washington, I wonder what our local laws do to either hasten a player's concerns or help them.
Now, can you remember who they took last year?
Again, from Missouri, Shane Ray.
That's right.
Ooh, and
a weed arrest while driving around Kansas City, 10 days before the draft?
Kandichie doesn't have to mess around with the synthetic weed anymore. You know, he can go for the real thing, okay? It's
right.
Legal. The green little signs everywhere.
Fair point.
So we're good, I think.
It's legal to walk around and do it. It's not legal to play football and do it.
Correct.
Which I think might hasten his demise a little bit.
Oh, man. They have a D-line coach tonight by the name of Bill Collar, who I think could sharpen him up and use him as a talent, but also get in his kitchen a little bit.
It also helps to have a Hall of Fame quarterback as your GM who is pretty no-nonsense. You've seen it. There's fire there. You know, John Fox knows it. There's a lot of pride. I think they can make a difference in a lot of players.
So are there any, as we wrap up this this first round here, did anybody slip through the cracks and follow the second round? Darren Lee? From Ohio State did get picked. That's a big one.
Yeah, I did my last mock, same thing. I couldn't find that one spot for him. I mean, you know, early on, I think Mackenzie Alexander people were excited about.
No interceptions, you know, though. That's to me, that's crazy in college.
He's not huge. Billings was a guy who I think has been mentioned in the first round a little bit. Who else we got here?
Hunter Henry, if you're desperate for a tight end.
Yeah.
But that's desperate.
Round. Right.
I mean, I think if
he's
it's
a round two guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
But for the most part, I think we got it covered here. Except for the Bears taking Shaq Lawson.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. I don't hate Lawson. He's on the big board.
Could they trade back Zeke? Could they trade back and take him?
But how far back?
4, 5?
Maybe.
Get an extra 3 for your troubles?
I know Atlanta has done a lot of work. They're at 17. I know they've done a lot of work on Shaq Lawson. I don't know if that means they love him, but I know they've spent some time on him. So, you know, you don't – it's hard to know, you know.
Yeah.
And well, at 11, you save like $4 million over the 10th pick too. So that's a pretty good spot to be at, you know, that first pick outside the top 10.
That's the thing we forget about is the money and how this stuff is slotted. All right, well, guys, thanks for coming in here. Really appreciate it. I think it was
Who won? Who won the?
Yeah, what do we do? What do we do now? We
Shaq Lawson
up
won.
The scores.
Shaq Lawson won. Yeah. I don't know how. Well, I guess we'll find out a year from now who won.
That's right.
How about that? Or probably 4 years.
If you can bet a 6-pack on Christian Hackenberg, I'm curious what the payoff is for best draft. At least a 12-pack.
Okay, we can do that.
Good.
We'll do a 12-pack. All right, this is Intentional Grounding, episode 30. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, Pat Finley, and Eric Edholm here in studio. Appreciate them coming in. Again, follow them on Twitter, at Patrick Finley and at Eric_Edholm. You can find the Adams at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, and at Adam Johns at J-A-H-N-S. WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and YahooSports.com. Find the Shutdown Corner blog there. Search for Intentional Grounding on iTunes. Thanks to our producer, Mike Jacobson. Adam, we have another episode later this week.
On Wednesday.
We're doubling it up this week.
It's it. So the draft's finally here, I feel like.
Thank God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Ryan Pace talks on Wednesday, and Adam and I will have another episode of Intentional Grounding. So look for that. We'll talk to you then.